From the deepest darkness of Dromund-Kos to the smelly sewers of Nar Shaddaa to the brightest light that shine on Tython, this is Flashpoint.
Hi everyone, welcome to a big episode 18. It's been a long break between drinks. It's been 3 weeks. It's been a longer wait than a Qantas passenger at Sydney Airport. But it's very good to be back. And as always, I've got two of the best men in the universe. Ed, how you going?
Oh, can't complain. Unless, you know, if I was a Qantas passenger, I'd be complaining a great deal. But since I'm not, since I'm still in Nova Scotia and will be for the foreseeable future, I'm not complaining at all.
Excellent. And Mark, how are you, mate?
Oh, I'm pretty good, about as happy as a Qantas passenger on a cheap Virgin flight.
Yes. All Toros podcasters fly Virgin.
Darn right. Goes darn right.
So, yeah, with 3 weeks under the belt, let's get straight into the news.
4, 3, 2, 1. Republic News.
So, yeah, as I mentioned, 3 weeks is a long time, although one of the weeks was fairly quiet, so we're really only going to cover two key pieces of information. The first one, I'll start with the most recent today's, and that was the, the announcement or unveiling of a further two war zones, which for those not in the know are the PvP areas in Star Wars The Old Republic. So we already knew about Hutt Ball, and we've talked about that on this podcast before. The other two announced today were Void Star, which is an Imperial battle cruiser, and the Alderaan on the ground in Alderaan War Zone 2. So just to get away from my voice for a bit, I'll go to Ed first. Ed, what have you looked at the three videos?
Yeah, I've looked at the three videos. I hate to correct you, David. I truly do hate to correct you, but we knew about Alderaan, man. We were told about Alderaan. Alderaan was the first war zone that they showed us.
Oh, there you go. So I've missed it like ages ago. See, I assumed Hutt Ball was the first one.
No.
Further proof
we'll
on the
have
idiot.
To, we'll have to, no, we'll just have to remand you to Imperial custody for re-education.
Yeah. There you go. So was the video of Alderaan part of the original announcement?
It is and it isn't. It's been expanded a bit. There's a little bit more than there was because the initial thing was just, you know, there will be war zones. This is a bit of what the war zone's going to be. They've added a bit more and it's a little more in depth, and you know, they actually show more of the PvP stuff than they showed in the initial announcement. And the Void Star looks very cool. One of the things that I'm seeing is that there are places where you can knock people off of these high bridges and it's an instant kill.
Yeah, that
and
is
I'm
good.
Just I'm thinking, you know, rifle grenade. Stock strike. Boom. They go down, they go wee.
And it wouldn't be a Flashpoint podcast without me making some sort of World of Warcraft reference. What struck me with the Void Star one is it's the exact same mechanic, and I don't mean this in a critical way because there are only so many PvP mechanics. It's the exact same mechanic as Strand of the Ancients, as far as you have one side that does offense, the other one defense, and then they swap. I believe, do they swap on this one? I actually didn't.
Yes, yeah. Yes, they do.
So it's exactly the same as that, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing because I quite like Strand of the Ancients, although I know a lot of people that absolutely hate it. But then that's a bit like PvP versus PvE anyway, in that some people play it, some people don't. So Mark, what did you think of the videos?
Yeah, really impressed actually. I'm not a big PvP fan at all. I'll be honest. That's why the guild that I've started is going to be going on a PvE server. Back on the WoW days, the first server I played on, I played Alliance, and the Horde outnumbered us. I think it was 8-1. So it totally put me off PvP for a long, long time. However, looking at these videos, I have to be honest, I'm pretty impressed, and I'm looking forward to giving them a go myself. And actually, just in the last couple of weeks in my own guild, I've been trying to basically get an officer in a position that is going to arrange PvP runs for the guild. So it's something that I'm going to definitely try, which I wouldn't have said 6 months ago, but now looking at these things, yeah, it does look very impressive. Hatball looks like it's going to be an absolute hoot.
Yeah,
I think you know, not just for PvP, but I think people are going to be able to make, like, you know, one of the things we've got in my guild is social events. You know, we did that in WoW, and I think, you know, a guild hatball social event can only be a hoot. Aldran, I don't know too much about. I know it was announced before, as Ed said. I'm sure I've seen stuff regarding it. And Voidstar looks really cool too.
Well, yeah. One of the things, the only, I think the Hutball is going to be the big draw, because you can have the same faction playing each other. You know, the others, you know, you have the Empire versus the Republic, but in Hutball you can have Republic versus Empire, Republic versus Republic, or Empire versus Empire. And I'm like, that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I'm yet to hear a single person slag Hutball. Everyone that's watched the video and play, I assume in the beta people have played it, that they love it. It's just great. So
I don't know if they have that stuff going yet, but it wouldn't surprise me if it's not fully hooked into the beta yet, since the betas that were out were old builds.
Yeah. But 2 points I wanted to make on them. The first is that, yeah, they all look great. Alderaan of the three looks the most fun from an ongoing playability viewpoint, although Hutball, probably because it's so free range, will probably have the longevity as well. But the other point, and you just mentioned this, Mark, is about the whole PvP thing and being outnumbered. I mean, you look at our guild listing, and we're going to talk about that later on. I mean, there's nearly twice as many Sith guilds as there are Republic guilds, and I have a real concern about unbalanced servers, particularly in PvP, and it occurs now in WoW. I mean, I played WoW today and got thrashed 4 times in a row because, you know, the Horde PvP, they're just better players usually. So, that worries me. From your experience, you're finding, are you just seeing that real Sith, I don't know, dominance?
I mean, look, my own reasons for creating a Sith guild, quite frankly, were most MMOs that I've played, whether it was WoW, Rift, Ion, I've always kind of played the good guys, and I just thought, on this occasion, I'm just going to make a change. So that was the only main reason I wanted to do Sith. There wasn't any real, like, class preference or anything like that. I just wanted a change from being the good guys, as it were. Look, from what I've seen, certainly on the guild list, on the Oceanic list that we've got on the site, there is an abundance of Sith guilds.
Yeah.
Come to the dark side. We have cookies.
Yep.
Yeah, they obviously have lots of cookies.
A lot of cookies, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll definitely talk about Oceanic guilds in a little while. But, yeah, so Warzone's, you know, 3 thumbs up from everyone. I'm assuming that they'll be the only 3 war zones at launch. None of us probably know, but I'm assuming so.
It's certainly
probably.
Yeah, and I don't mean that as in only. I think it's impressive they've got 3 good PvP zones up from launch. Yeah. So that's great.
Oh, no question.
Yeah. And they all look pretty well, flushed out, as it were.
Yeah. Considering the amount of work that has to go into these and the sheer, you know, mechanics that have to go into making 3 completely different war zones. Wow. You know, uneducated people who've never had to deal with anything computer related will look at it and go, why did they only put 3 up there? And my response is, STFU, fool.
I would imagine that BioWare have probably been keeping an eye on the PvP war zones in beta, because what better way to check out balancing?
Exactly.
Yeah. I heard something from someone, good God, this was several weeks ago. She was in the regular beta, but then she left, She said that they were really looking at the PvP stuff more than the PvE stuff. At least in her group, they were asked to actually go out and battle each other. I don't think it was in a war zone. I think it was just open field. She was very cagey about what she would tell me and why, and I was very careful about what I asked her. But she said they were focusing a lot on PvP balance. So I'm guessing that this is going to be probably – it's going to be as balanced as they can possibly make it. And then the players will come in and make some totally improbable build that will totally mess everything up. And then it will be the build of the week or the build of the month. And then they'll come in and they'll hit it with the Nerf hammer. And, you know, that's what happens.
Agreed. Yeah, so good stuff with the war zones. And then last week we had a slower, you'd argue, slower news week as far as Fan Friday, and we'll talk more about that in a minute, Ed, because I know you've got some stuff to say. And the unboxing of the Collector's Edition, which, Mark, do you want to sort of talk through that and what you stood out for you in that?
Yeah, I'll go over Bloods and Wold. I think it looks really cool. I'm looking forward to receiving it. Right, so basically I think the one thing, it's basically split in two, isn't it? There's like cosmetic items that are in the game, or should I say virtual items, and then there's the physical items that come with the Collector's Edition. So as far as I'm aware, everybody that pre-orders gets a colour stone,
yep,
which can be used apparently in sabers and blasters. Mm-hmm. Now, from what I'm reading, it is yellow with a black outer shell.
Yeah.
So I don't know how that's going to look in-game. The only thing that concerns me with that is how useful is it actually going to be, because I know Artifice, they can make lightsaber crystals, so I don't know, are they going to make it redundant? Or it would be nice to actually have an item that's going to last you throughout the game, but I just got a feeling that this thing is probably going to be replaced pretty quick.
Yeah, I'd always assumed it was more cosmetic than substantive. Mm. Yeah.
Well, if it's not cosmetic, there's going to be people screaming about how, you know, they have an advantage. You know, if we paid an extra $100, you know, they don't deserve an advantage, even though they paid an extra $100. You know, they don't deserve it because they're just saying that we're not special enough to be having that stuff. You know, and can't have that. We've all got to be on the same playing field, don't we?
Yeah, see, but I'm one of those. Because I only bought the standard edition, and I'll fully admit I regret not getting the collector's edition now, but I'd hate to see an item give an advantage to those that bought the collector's edition, because you're all rich bastards that deserve to go down anyway.
I have one word for you, sir. Loser.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
So, Mark, yeah, sorry, keep going with your unboxing description.
Right, okay, so the next sort of list of items are the virtual goods that come with the Collector's Edition. These also come with a Digital Deluxe Edition, so if anybody's ordered that, you get these items. First one being a flare gun. Now, I think this, again, is just a cosmetic item. It says a flare gun is a small cosmetic device that allows you to fire a particle flare high into the sky above your character head. So basically, it's just an animation. It doesn't serve any purpose apart from looking pretty. Mm-hmm. Next item would be the training droid. It's a small but advanced piece of machining. And this thing actually sounds pretty cool. It says the training droid will hover by your side as you explore the galaxy. So yeah, it's going to be like a pet. But it says the training droid will also serve you in combat, marking your target with a particle effect that clearly identifies them as an enemy. And I thought this actually could be pretty cool, especially in PvP.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, how easy is it going to be to sneak up on somebody if all of a sudden you're outlined by I've been painted as a target. Oh, there's people shooting at me.
You know, somebody's
That's
got you.
That's unfair. Nerf it.
Next thing I believe is the Hollow Dancer. I'm guessing this is
gotta have that.
Some kind of Twilight female Hollow Dancer that you can stick down and she'll dance for you anywhere. Okay.
This sounds kinky.
It does. Hey, you need some alone time with your Hollow Dancer.
And sadly, I think that will happen.
For when you want to quest solo. Solo with your Hollow. Moving swiftly onwards. Hollow Calm. It says the Hollow Calm lets your character take high resolution images of the countless wonders as they will discover on their journey. So I don't know. This sounds like it's basically an in-game screenshot device. Now, I would hope the game has one anyway. However,
yeah.
I actually read somewhere that this is going to allow you to replay your cutscenes, you know, so your main sort of storyline cutscenes. I don't know whether it's going to do that. Well, I definitely read somewhere. Well, I don't know. I mean, I did read that somewhere, so who knows? We'll probably won't know for sure until either more information comes out, which is unlikely now. It'll probably be when the game goes live.
But that seems sensible. That seems like a sensible thing, and you should be able to do it anyway. It's just an easy way to access it.
Yeah. So, anyway, next thing is actually a mount. It's called the STAP, or Single Trooper Aerial Platform. Sorry, Ed, but I think most troopers can use this. It says it's a custom skin vehicle that you will be able to acquire at no cost to you. The vehicle itself will become available once your character gains the ability to pilot vehicles. So, I guess it's the same as another one, but it says it's custom skin, so that'll be fantastic.
Sounds to me like Ed's going to fap to the step and we're going to solo to the holo by the sound of that.
Trooper. Yes. I want my step. I want my step now. I want it. But I want a gun on it, because if I don't have a gun on it, that's a bad thing.
So if you've got a digital deluxe edition or the collector's edition, you get those in-game items, basically. Collector's edition obviously has some few extras. There is another pet that you get, which is a mouse droid. Doesn't really look much like the original mouse droid from the original movie, which was basically a black toaster on wheels.
Yeah.
This thing looks completely different. It says it's custom skin for the collector's edition owner. It serves as a faithful pet that will follow you as you make your way across the galaxy.
Question. Mm-hmm. If there are mouse droids, are there cat droids too?
I really couldn't tell you.
Yeah, see, that's
I wonder.
Yeah, that's asking all the deep questions. That's a very important point. No, that's good. And I'm pretty sure with the standard edition that you only get the pretty trinket, and that's about it, isn't it?
I think with the standard edition, you basically get the color stone.
Yeah,
I think everybody gets that.
Yeah.
Right. What else do we get? The collector's edition store. A bit controversy about this, but I think it's just cosmetic items, really. It says, basically, the Collector's Edition store will be available to those who have the Collector's Edition of the Old Republic and will feature items found nowhere else in the game. The Collector's Edition will be stocked with exclusive social items for yourself and unique appearances for your companions, which is, sounds pretty cool, actually. The store will also have regular updates to give players incentives to keep coming back. So, yeah, that's pretty cool. I mean, I know there is limited appearances that you can do for your companions, and obviously any extra ones will make them look a bit more individual. So I'm all for this. It sounds good.
Just as long as they don't make Mako look like a sheep.
I don't know.
Again, another deep question.
Yeah.
So is that for the collector's edition, Mark?
No, we've got more.
Oh, and there's more.
There is more. Next thing would be the security key, which most people in WoW would be familiar with. You can get them from Blizzard, which is basically for added account safety. I'm trying to find out at the moment if you can use it on more than one account, because obviously I've got the collectors coming. My wife's going to be playing. She's got the Digital Deluxe, and I'm hoping we can use it on both accounts, because the one that we had for World of Warcraft, we were able to put on both accounts. So I'm hoping you can with this one.
See, I'm annoyed. The day I obviously didn't read about Alderaan as a war zone is a day I didn't read that an authenticator is part of the collector's edition, because that really decided me to buy it.
Yeah. Look, I'm sure you're going to be able to buy them anyway. I can't see them collector's edition. But so when I find out if you can use it on more than one account, I'll post on the website with any more information I get on that. Next thing is a CD of the official game soundtrack.
Ooh.
Does anybody still use CDs anymore?
Yeah, it's very 1998.
It is.
Hey, I resemble that remark.
Got to look out my old Sony Discman for that one. Right.
That said, I would totally buy the vinyl record of the Star Wars The Old Republic soundtrack. So, yeah, it depends on your perspective, I suppose.
Yeah. I'm sure most people will probably, I don't know if they're going to listen to it. probably convert it to MP3 or something and put it on an iPod. Right, next thing would be the Journal of Master Nosdural. Now, I know from the videos of this guy that it was voiced by Lance Henriksen, this character, but this is a book which I guess, from the looks of it, looks like a timeline book with events leading up to the start of the game, basically. That's certainly what it looks like. So probably an interesting read to get into the game. Only two more items on the list. The next one is an Old Republic Galaxy map poster for your wall, I'm guessing. Which basically has just a map of the solar system that's there. Or should I say the universe, not solar system. And last but not least, which is the thing I'm really looking forward to because it looks really cool, is the Darth Malgus statue. I already have a space looked out for it on my desk.
And oh, yes.
Is that?
And there is one more thing probably important for Oceanic purchases of the Collector's Edition and Standard Edition is that they all receive a free subscription to the Flashpoint podcast.
That's right, yep.
So that's
Oceanic only, though, sorry.
Yeah, Oceanic only, yep. You've still got to pay it, and even you're though you present. You're going to have to move.
Yeah. I just can't get no respect.
That's right. So, yeah, that's the unboxing. Thank you, Mark. And then, Ed, Fan Friday, and I know you wrote a piece on the site that's well worth checking out for those of you that haven't seen it, about the ongoing snub of fan fiction. So you have 2.5 minutes, Ed, to let fly.
Was that fast enough?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, okay, let me.
That actually sounded really dodgy. I'm sorry, but it sounded like somebody was already fapping to the stop.
Let's see. Yeah.
You guys are not going to give that up, are you? Good. Yeah, fan fiction has been snubbed for Fan Friday for the last several times. And it's getting to the point where we're kind of wondering why we're working on this. I mean, I have no life, and I want to get my story done, and it's taking a lot more time than I thought it was going to. I thought it was going to be, 10 posts and you're done, and then 10 threads and you're done, and then 10, maybe 50 threads and I'm done. Maybe I can get it done in 100. Maybe. It's easy to look at a piece of fan art and say, okay, that's cool, or okay, that sucks, or what the hell were they smoking when they did that? Blah, what is that supposed to be? It's fairly easy to do that. I have to admit, it's harder when you're looking at fan fiction because you look at the title and you don't know what it is. You don't have a clue what it is. I mean, the best ones that are on the site have titles that are so totally, completely different from what is actually in the story that you don't have a clue. Mine's called Love the Force and Everything. And it's 95 chapters long so far. And I have people who have followed it since day one. It takes time to read a piece of fan fiction. You have to sit down and you have to read it. If you have to read a lot of it, and they would want to be at least somewhat fair. There's a lot of fan fiction out there, and not all of it's good. Not all of my stuff is good. I actually don't think much of mine is good. I'm prolific. I'm not good. There's a difference. There are good writers who are also prolific, but they are few and far between. I just write something every day as a writing exercise and to see if I can do it. It just gets kind of, are we the redheaded stepchildren of Star Wars: The Old Republic? Every time there's a Fan Friday, oh, there's this great fan art. Oh, they're talking about this, that, and the other thing. Oh, we don't exist. Yeah. It hurts our feelings, man.
And I know you've talked about it before, and I think you're right. It's partly a time issue in that it's easier to digest a piece of artwork over a short period of time than something large like that. But I also agree that there should be some sort of focus on it because overall, I'd say that it takes much more effort to deliver that, whether good, bad, or ugly, than some of the art that's there.
There's some of the art that's out there that's absolutely amazing.
Oh, absolutely.
Just absolutely amazing. And then there's Star Wars The Old Republic paint adventures, which is funny. It's funny as hell. But, if you haven't been following Star Wars The Old Republic paint adventures, you need to, because it's just silly and stupid and, like, it's funny.
I'm not actually familiar with it at all. What is that?
This guy had this cool idea that, you know, in MS Paint, I think it's MS Paint. I'm not sure. Let me see if I can pull this up. MS Paint. He used MS Paint to create various characters, and then it's almost like a choose-your-own-adventure book or story. Puts up the picture and then he asks people, what do you want these characters to do? And then they do it, mostly. Some of, you know, as he says, keep it PG-13. It's kind of funny. They've got all kinds of stuff that's going on, and the names for some of these characters are just absolutely a hoot. If you get the chance to read them, you know, Vanguard's guy, is his name is True Pat. He's the trooper.
Okay. Yep, I see what you mean. Well, all right, you're the poor cousin. We know you're the poor cousin and we feel sorry for you, so let's leave it at that. No.
We will have our revenge.
That's right.
We will gain our revenge. We shall find some equally dubious revenge that we can throw onto people, and we will grab them, we will pull them in, and then we will force them to read bad fan fiction all day long.
God help us all. It could be worse. It could be the Star Wars The Old Republic poets. So anyway, that's the news roundup for the week. So let's go chew some fat. So I only had two things at my end, and then Ed and Mark, I'll throw to you for any extra stuff you want to add. I was amiss in the last episode of not giving a bit of a plug for the Daisy Chain stuff going on, both in PvP and PvE. And I know we talked about it briefly on one podcast because I know I was totally ignorant on it. Actually, Mark, I'm going to throw to you because I'm going to explain it really badly. I now understand the basic concept, but you'll explain it much better than I, so go for it.
Yeah, I apologize too, because the only one I sort of got involved in was obviously the PvE one, because that's what my guild is. But I know there is a PvP Daisy Chain in the go as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, basically the way it is phase 3 or phase 2 and 3 of the guild process on Star Wars The Old Republic. You can choose up to three other guilds, either to be alliances, basically, or enemies, before the game actually comes out. So you can actually do this at the moment. It can be any combination. You can have two allies, three allies, two allies and an enemy, three enemies. It's really up to you. What they're going to try and do is when you are allies and enemies with another guild, they're going to try and put you on the same server. Now, as you know, at launch, there isn't actually going to be an Oceanic server as such. So what the Oceanic guilds are doing are daisy chaining their friends and enemies, so that basically there's a big, as we say, daisy chain of guilds all linked up through friends and enemy, or allies and enemies. Basically for the purpose that hopefully we can all get on the same server. So basically, as far as I'm aware, they've all picked, like, you know, PvE West or PvP West to try and get on the same server. So it'll be an official Oceanic server, which is really good for the Oceanic guilds, because obviously if they're looking for new people and obviously players in the same time zones, it's going to work out for everyone. So that's basically it in a nutshell.
And that extremely well explained. And so I'll have the links in the show notes for the PvP and PvE daisy chains, although I'm told that one of them, and I've forgotten which one, sorry, is actually closed now, and the other one's only got one or two guilds left. But you can still follow those threads, because if they reopen or extend that, then you'll be in the know. So big thanks to Tronk for the PvP daisy chain, and he's also a regular on the Tauros forums. And then for the PvE one, the people responsible are, and I'm going to pronounce this wrong, it's Sky X Wombat. So it's either Skix Wombat or Sky X Wombat or Sky Cross Wombat. And Garskull are the two primarily involved. So, yep, look for the links in the show notes. And for those of you wondering, that creak, creak, creak sound in the background is not Ed using his mouse scroll wheel. It's actually him adjusting the bolt in his head.
Well, sort of.
In his neck. Sorry, bolt in his neck. That's right. So, and then...
Brains.
So related to the daisy chaining is just Oceanic Guilds more broadly. So the list on our website, which is one of two places to go, the official forums, Anti-Spiral has a great guild listing on there. Plus there's obviously the official guilds, but they're a little bit harder to search. And now we're keeping it up. And but our guild listing broke 50 over the weekend. So every week I update it, and I think we're about 52 guilds now. And so that's excellent. Great. I mean, there's obviously probably a couple of inactive ones in there that haven't let me know. But, yeah, it's going really well, and it's great to see that many guilds active. And you know, expect a few mergers and stuff after launch. But even so, it's healthy state of the nation.
Good stuff.
And
yep, darn right.
So beyond that, Noisy Ed or Calm Mark, have you got anything to add?
Noisy? Noisy? You want Noisy? I can give you Noisy.
Go on. You mean we haven't had Noisy?
Oh, here we go.
It's got to stop it again.
Yeah.
You're going to frap at the stab of the map. Yes. Okay. Okay. Well, I just wanted to say that I and a friend of mine have made a guild of our own. And it's set for US East, but it is Allegiance to the Sith Empire. And it's an RP guild as opposed to a PvP or PvE guild. And, you know, it's open to anybody who wants to, might be on at certain times or odd times in your time zone. So give it a look-see if you want. It's called the Order of the Bladeborn.
Well, if you're Oceanic friendly, send me the details and we'll add it to the listing.
Cool. So. Oh, I'm friendly to just about anybody as long as they're not Republic scum.
That's right.
Did you say West or East?
East.
Oh.
It's an odd time for you guys, I know, but you know, who knows? Maybe somebody would want to be playing at odd times. I mean, there are people who have.
Yeah, no, that's good. Mark, anything you wanted to add before I wrap up?
The only other thing I was interested in is really, what is everybody playing until Star Wars comes out?
Oh my!
Yeah, that's a big question. I mean, mine's a boring answer. It's still a bit of WoW, although I'm getting a little bit over that, and for anyone that plays well, you know that the new expansion's been announced, the Mists of, and I always think of it as Pandiarrhea, but is it Pandaria or Pandaria?
I don't know.
Yeah, Mists of Pandaria.
I don't follow WoW at all.
Yeah. No. Okay, well, they've announced the expansion, and it's obviously a new class. They're going to have a monk and also a new race, the Pandarians. And right. I, you know, there's lots of whales jump the shark talk, and, you know, on the face of it, I think they might be right, but I still think at the end of the day, they're going to have 10, 12 million people happily playing, and I'll buy the expansion and play it. But beyond that, I'm not playing a bloody thing. What about you guys?
Actually, I did hear one thing about WoW this week, and that's that apparently they've taken out a thing now where you can subscribe for the year, and if you do it just now, you get basically a free copy of Diablo 3 when it comes out.
That's right, yes. That was the other thing they announced, yep.
They're trying everything they can to keep people. Now, yeah. Well.
And they need to. And I mean, I'll make a solid prediction. Star Wars The Old Republic's not going to overtake WoW in the short term, in the medium term. If it goes well, there could be a different story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Look, the only other thing I've been playing is Battlefield 3. And can I quickly plug We have set up a server in my guild because there is a few people that are playing Battlefield 3 until it comes out. So and
there's an excellent comparison video.
There is.
Oh, yes. We saw that.
I'll put that in the show notes if I think of it. There's an excellent comparison video between a PC and a PlayStation 3 at running Battlefield 3, so you'll love that.
Yes, yes. Well, for me, I haven't been playing a lot recently because I had midterms this week. It's driving me completely insane. Not that that's a long drive, but driving me completely insane. So every so often I had to, you know, sit back, kick back, and exterminate some orcs in Space Marine, Warhammer 40,000 Space Marine. You know, lots of people have said bad things about the game. You know, it didn't have co-op at launch. You know, it has buggy multiplayer. It has laggy multiplayer. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, my God. You want to know what playing a God of War is like? Don't buy the game God of War. Play the game Space Marine. You dive into a group of orcs with a chainsword in one hand and a bolt pistol in the other, and you come out, and there's pieces of orcs going every which way. It's just, whoosh. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. This is what being a Space Marine's all about. This is what it's – you are totally freaking unstoppable. Until you run into a bigger orc called a knob, and then he squishes you into paste. And then you reload, and then you try it again.
So oh, there's an orc theme with the game recommendations. That's good.
Ed, I actually think that sounded a bit worrying. It sounded just a bit too graphic, and I think in 5 years' time we're going to see your name up there with the likes of Charles Manson and the
Jeffrey kind of Dahmer.
Graphic. Yep. Graphic. Well, considering that Warhammer 40,000 is set in a grim, dark future, and you know humanity is beset on all sides by evil aliens who are trying to destroy it, eat it, warp its minds, take it over from the being side, whatever. I don't mind it being too graphic, and you know, since you're just fighting big, you know, green fungus spawned aliens, I mean, does it matter if it's graphic?
That's true.
You're such a nice guy.
So speaking of a grim, dark future, it's another 2 weeks before we come back, but I'll wrap up anyway. That was a great segue.
That was a great segue, man.
There's one other thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We are exactly half a century away from launch, 50 days.
That's true. It's going to be a long 50
half
days.
Half a century.
Yeah, in Australian speak, if we're talking cricket terms here, a century is 100 runs, so 50, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
And,
I don't mean 50 years. That's
So, no, I got the reference. That's all good. The Canadians, the Americans are as good at cricket as they are at any sport but gridiron. But we won't go there.
I'm sorry, in
athletics.
I've got to tell you guys. Have any of you been bowling? Have either of you been bowling?
Lawn bowls or 10-pin?
You know, I was raised on bowling where it's actually 12 pins, and it's set up in an alley. You have a large ball that has three holes in it. You put your fingers in the holes, and you roll the ball down the track to knock the pins over, right?
Yeah.
That's the way I was taught. That's not how they do it up here in Canada. I found that out last night because they do 10-pin bowling here in Canada, and there's little tiny balls. I'm like, what am I supposed to do with this? Well, see, don't answer that.
We do 10-pin bowling, but with the normal size bowling ball that the US use, as far as I know.
Hmm. Well, it was just kind of, you know, what the hell is this? What am I supposed to do with this? It took me most of the night to figure out how to get the thing, these little tiny balls without the holes in them, to go the direction I wanted to. But then I finally did, and I still did fairly well.
It's been an educational night. And just, sorry, back to your thing, Mark, on the 50 days to launch. I've actually now got a working computer ready to install Star Wars The Old Republic. So for those of you out there that are on Macs, and Gail, shut up, I can already hear you now, that I have successfully installed Windows 7 on my iMac under boot camp, and it meets all the specs for Star Wars The Old Republic, so I'm ready and raring to go. I just need something to install on it, and no, that's not a hint to BioWare. I'm quite happy to wait to launch, but very excited. So thanks, everyone. It's been another good one, and in my humble opinion. So if you want to catch up with us, please don't hesitate on Twitter. We're SWTOROZ. On Facebook, just search for Toroz. You can contact us via email on email address contact@toroz.com.au. Otherwise, the forum's on the website. Check out the Oceanic Guild listing. We are all still on Google Plus, although I log in about once every 2 weeks now. And I think that's pretty much covered it all. Boys, it's a pleasure. Thank you.
Allow me to do one final thing. In the grim dark of the far past, there is only Star Wars, The Old Republic.
It doesn't get any better than that. Although I still think Fap to the Stap is the best of the night.
You're
weird, guys.
That will be the title of this podcast, I tell you now.
We need some Fap to the Stap motivational posters now.
Actually,
Now T-shirt. I was thinking we should make a T-shirt. I forgot to plug the fact that we have T-shirts now. There's only two T-shirts. There's a plain old boring one with the Toroz logo, which I have ordered and worn, and it looks okay. And then there's a proud to be a Red Zoner T-shirt. For those of you still angry about the fact of our exclusion from the official launch, buy a Red Zoner T-shirt, and all the proceeds go to charity, not to me. And I don't mean I don't mean Ed as a charity or Mark as a charity. I mean real charity.
Why can't I be a charity?
I think I'm going to do a Fap to the Stap.
I would order one.
I'm getting that. I'm doing that tonight. All right, we're done.
From the coldest depths of interstellar space to the nastiest packed urban sprawls of Coruscant, this was Flashpoint.